And who made history. Governor David Patterson is a good friend of mine, and we're colleagues, and when our mothers get together, which we try to avoid, they talk about how difficult it is to keep your son in line once they become governor. Somehow they manage a way to do it. But it is my honor to be here today, and I come here today with a heavy heart. The ugly political discourse of the election did not end on Election Day. In many ways, it's gotten worse. It's deepened into a social crisis that challenges our very identity as a state and as a nation and as a people. It's gone beyond politics. It questions our basic American character, who we are and what we believe. The answers by some make me soul sick. For the America that I know and I love. Now, I am not alone. There are many who are soul sick for their America. There are young, there are old, who feel alienated and disrespected and confused by what they hear. We can now begin to understand what the Old Testament meant when it said, "They that sow the wind shall reap the whirlwind." Well, we are in a whirlwind of hate and division all across this country. Black freshmen at the University of Pennsylvania found messages on their phones, including images of lynchings and racial slurs. The day after the election, someone painted racist messages on the walls in Durham, North Carolina, saying black lives don't matter and neither do your votes. During the week after the election, the Southern Poverty Law Center reported that there were 437 incidents of intimidation targeting blacks and people of color, as well as Muslims, immigrants, women, and members of the LGBT community. I wish I could say that our beautiful state of New York was immune from this poison, but it's not. Flyers promoting the KKK were found on parked cars in Patchogue, Long Island. A swastika was discovered on the B train in Manhattan. Wellsville, outside of Buffalo, someone painted a swastika surrounded by the words, "Make America White Again." The fact is this: if you sow fear, you reap hysteria. If you sow divisiveness, you reap anarchy. And we are seeing that today. Now, we have seen this act before. The race massacre in Tulsa in 1921, the Palmer raids and the mass deportation of immigrants in the 20s, the internment of Japanese citizens during World War II, the Red Scare of the 50s. This election season vented and fostered people's anger. And no doubt that the anger is real. And it comes with good cause. We have an economy that it works for the few at the expense of the many. For 30 years, we've been watching income inequality getting worse and worse and worse. And we have a handful of millionaires and billionaires. And we have a middle class that is shrinking into poverty while they're working harder than ever before. We've had technological changes that have lost millions of jobs. And we've seen families displaced, communities displaced, towns and villages displaced. You go up to upstate New York, and you'll see towns that had a factory, had a business, and that factory and that business moved away, and the town has been left without an economy since then. Compounding all of this is the feeling that the government, which was supposed to be the place where people went for power and protection, that the government is now responsive to powerful interests that make large donations. And the government that was our government is now their government. And we are not one of them. This fear and this anger, misdirected, seeks an enemy. And it seeks a target. And the target has become people who one sees as different than oneself. It's the different people. Different skin color, different religion, different sexuality. And they have become a target for this anger. But demonizing our differences injects a social poison into the fabric of this country, especially this country, because this is a country that is built on differences. We're not founded on one race or one color or one creed. This nation is founded on one ideal, one compact, and that compact has been agreed to by many races and many cultures. The demonization of differences erodes our democracy at its core and attacks the foundation of this nation. Now, New York State, in many ways, embodies the American ideal. We are the laboratory of the American experiment in democracy. New York is the welcome mat to the world. They step off here first. The Statue of Liberty stands in our harbor, and New Yorkers hold the torch. And that torch must be held higher than ever before, and that torch must shine brighter than ever before. New York has a special responsibility. We've always been the progressive capital of this country. We've always been the social conscience. And it is time that we act that way. We must stand up and remind this country what it means to be an American. That our core American belief is that we are one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That what makes this country special on the globe is that we afford religious freedom to all individuals, and we discriminate against none. The nation's motto is E pluribus unum, out of many one. That is the American rule, period. And therefore, if you love this country, and if you are an American, then you must act like one. And these acts of division are the exact opposite of what America stands for. The divisiveness must stop, and New Yorkers will not be bystanders to the injustice. That is not the New York way. We will fight sexism and racism and bigotry wherever we see it. We will stand up for the rights of immigrants because we believe our diversity is a strength, not a weakness. And if there is a move to deport immigrants, I say then start with me. Because I am the son of Mario Cuomo, the son of Andrea Cuomo, a poor Italian immigrant who came to this country without a job, without money, without resources. And he was here only for the promise of America. And if we're going to question immigrants and deport immigrants, then who is safe and who is left? Because we are all immigrants. If we deport immigrants, the only ones who will be left will be the Iroquois and the Cherokee and the Sioux and the Apache. Otherwise, we are all visitors to this great land. Now, New York's message is a message of tolerance and brotherhood and unity. It is not a political message. It is not a Democratic message or a Republican message. It's not liberal or conservative. It's the golden rule that is the bedrock for faith for people around the world. Matthew chapter 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. In the Old Testament, Leviticus asks and says, love thy neighbor as thyself. This belief in loving thy neighbor, the golden rule, is repeated throughout the Quran by Prophet Muhammad, who said, none of you has faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Long before East met West, Confucius wrote in 500 BC, never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. Even the Sanskrit traditions of ancient India taught us treat others as you would treat yourself. It is a timeless truth. And these are the words that we need to take to heart at these dark times. And these are the words that must guide us, because they will heal us and they will bring us together. But at the same time, it's not a time for words alone. It's also a time for action. And the action will start here in New York. Because as Martin Luther King said in his I Have a Dream speech, there is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off. We have to act, and we have to act now. Now, these good words, this golden rule, these instructions are not just the mandate of unity and brotherhood in the Bible. To violate them is not just a sin. To violate them and to commit a hate crime violates the law of the land. And New York State will not allow the law to be violated, period. Today, I'm directing the Division of State Police and the Division of Human Rights to put together a special team of trained professionals that will investigate these hate crime incidents all across the state, the major ones, the minor ones, the infractions. And we will prosecute to the fullest extent of the law the perpetrator of any of this ugliness and divisiveness, because it's not happening in this state. The laws of New York must protect every citizen and every child. And that's why this January, I will propose to the legislature that we change the human rights law to specifically protect every child in every school, public and private. We'll make sure that every young person knows the law of the land, and I will be sending a letter to every college student explaining their rights and responsibilities as citizens of New York, their protections and their obligations, and what they need to do to follow the law. New York will also ensure that every person has legal protections, whether they can afford it or not. And we will be putting together a public-private legal defense fund to provide immigrants who can't afford their own defense the legal assistance they need, because in New York, we believe in justice for all. At the same time, New York will be working to address the underlying fear that is starting this in the first place, because we must address this pervasive economic insecurity. We have to provide good jobs that provide a decent wage, that have a promise of mobility, so people don't feel that they're stuck in place and that they have no future. We have to train displaced workers. We have to say to the people of this country who feel that they're not getting a fair piece of the American pie, the answer is not to fight your neighbor for their piece of the pie. The answer is not to fight for the scraps left by the rich. The answer is to grow the American pie for all. And that's what we have always done, and is what has made this country the greatest on the earth. New York still knows what America is supposed to be. And we must stand up and we must shout it from the mountaintops. We must provide guidance to this nation. We must stand up and say, you spread fear and we will spread love. We'll stand up and say, you try to pull us apart and we will stand stronger one with the other. We're going to stand up and say, yes, we are black, we are white, we are brown, but we are one in people and in spirit. Yes, we are Christians and Muslims and Jews, but we are one as a community. Yes, we are gay and straight, but we are one. Yes, we are new immigrants and we are old immigrants, but we are one. Yes, we are individuals, but we also believe that we are one community. And that is the New York way. We believe that there is a cord that connects you to you to you to you, and that cord may be invisible, but it is there. And it weaves a fabric, and we call that fabric community. And we believe in a community, we invest in each other, because when one of us is raised, we are all raised. And when one of us is lowered, we are all lowered. We have a shared destiny. We are here to share benefits and burdens. We are here to love one another and grow with one another and invest in one another, because every child's future is our own child's future. That is the New York way that made this state the greatest state in the country, brought 18 million people from around the globe, different colors, different religions, different cultures, and said, come and join our family. And we will operate as a family, and we will grow as a family. And we don't care the color of your skin or how much money you have in your pocket. If you accept the American idea, the New York way, we will work with you and we will grow with you. That is the American dream that built this nation. And the division is anathema to that dream. The separation is a poison. And it has to stop, and it has to stop now. And New York is going to lead the way in stopping the anger and show the way for positive growth. New York is going to say, we remember what made this nation the greatest nation on the earth. We remember the compact that made this American country grow. And we're going to keep that dream alive, and we are going to fight to make it a reality for every American. Thank you, and God bless you.